Without further ado, I'd like to introduce Dr. Alistair Brown, president of Northern Seminary.
Thank you very much, and good morning. I don't usually have to say much more than good morning before people realize from the accent that I really do not originate from Chicagoland, and I'm Scottish. With two of us and William Wallace, we can take on the world. One of the lesser known things about Scotland is there's more cricket played in Scotland than England. Consider yourselves educated. About 20 million people currently play cricket around the world, including in DuPage County. Now, most of you did not know that. Any moment now, it's going to sweep baseball away and take over the world. But I thought perhaps because it's clearly roaring through the county, you should understand about cricket. Here's the explanation. I checked it. It's all true. You have two sides, one out in the field and one in. Each man that's in the side that's in goes out. And when he's out, he comes in. And the next man goes in until he's out. And when they're all out, the side that's out comes in. And the side that's been in goes out and tries to get those coming in, out. Sometimes you get men who are still in and not out. When both sides have been in and out, including those who are not out, that's the end of the game. And I have two purposes in sharing that. I live in hope that everything after this point is more comprehensible. And secondly, I'm going to tell you a very short story about a cricketer later. So that was the introduction to the sport. I actually have three short stories or illustrations. And kind of underneath each of those after I've shared them, there are some lessons, principles of leadership. I believe godly principles. And I hope, therefore, those are relevant to all of us who are gathered here at this time. All of them actually take their underlying biblical truth from the passage just read to us from the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and from verses 10 to 15. I don't think this is going to be entirely like a sermon, but it does have a biblical base to it. So here we go. First of all, I'm going to talk in a second about St. Vitus Cathedral, which is in Prague in the Czech Republic, right in the heart of Europe. But just before getting there, my guess is most of us have had some frustrations with some kind of building project that we've taken on. My wife Alison and I, in a previous home, we were doing some remodeling, actually quite an extension on the back of the house. And we engaged a builder, and he began work in February, and he told us it would all be done by June. And then he told us it would all be done by September. And then he told us it would be done by Christmas. And before long, we were asking, which Christmas? It just seemed to go on and on and on. Well, for everyone in the room who's ever suffered from that kind of experience, be encouraged by the story of St. Vitus Cathedral right there in the heart of Prague. It is a very, very large building. They say you could park a Boeing 747 inside. I'm not sure how you get it through the doors, but the size would cope with that. And it's a very elaborate building and has marvelous stained glass windows and furnishings, as well as the design is a wonder from its time. So how long did it take to build St. Vitus Cathedral? It wasn't a year or five, and it wasn't 50. They began in 1344, and they finished St. Vitus Cathedral in 1929. To save your math calculation, that's 585 years. So don't you dare give anyone a hard time for overrunning on their deadlines. All right, now underneath that, three quick lessons. First, the very best of things and the most lasting of things actually do take time. We live in an age where we say, I want it, and I want it now. Go on the internet, look up beachbody.com. It's okay, it's almost respectable. Beachbody.com. You will find there the kind of same as the telemarketing thing for the P90X fitness system. Now, after such a fine breakfast, we probably should be all signing up for that. You can see an image there of one of the supposedly at least satisfied customers. His name has to be Wayne. Why does it have to be Wayne? But anyway, Wayne apparently lost 43 pounds in just 90 days. The trainer who invented P90X has a quote on the website, "Work out with me and you'll be shocked by the results." I think that's probably true. But they're marking into the I want it now attitude. The best of things actually take time. We celebrate at Christmas the birth of Jesus, but it was 30 more years before God, as it were, sent him out into his public ministry. God was not in a rush, and often we shouldn't be in as much of a rush as we seem to be. Second lesson quickly, many skills are needed. That was certainly true with St. Vitus Cathedral. The foundation diggers were not wall builders. And I guess those who built the walls wouldn't have known how to do a roof over the top. And roofers don't install stained glass windows. And the windows people don't do the tiles or the furniture or the paintings. In other words, people brought different skills, different insights into making what is and a really, truly magnificent cathedral. But it needed that whole mix to come together. I used to be the pastor of a church congregation. And often I'd get frustrated. And I would pray to God, Lord, why can't they all, meaning the congregation, why can't they all see things like me? If everyone thought like me, we could get so much done. And I really think God spoke to me. And what God said was, if everyone thought like you, this church wouldn't be stronger. It would actually be weaker. And of course, that is the truth. If there was only ever one idea, or one idea, or one way of things considered, most things would not be for the better. Don't get so angry and frustrated with those who are around you in whatever context you operate when they don't see things the way you do or don't want to do them the way things you want to do them. You need those other people in order that the very best work is done. And here's thirdly the last lesson from St. Vitus Cathedral in Prague. Every generation has its time. If it took 585 years to construct St. Vitus Cathedral, that means, I guess, that those who dug those foundations, probably it was father and son, who then became father and son through many generations, but not one of them ever saw the walls go up. And generation after generation built those walls. And they never saw the roof. And those who did the roof never saw the stained glass window, and so on. And not one of those people ever saw the thousands who would actually come one day and worship God in that place. But each of them did their task in their day. And if they had not, nothing would have come after. This is our day. We are the generation with great responsibilities and great opportunities to make a difference in our world at this time. We must not miss our moment. We must not fail people in this moment. We must not abrogate our responsibilities in this moment. If we miss it, we suffer, and every generation after us. Learn the lessons from St. Vitus Cathedral in Prague. Now let me bring the cricketer to bear. His name is Hansie Cronje, stunningly brilliant South African cricketer, both a batsman and a bowler. He first captained the South African national team in his early 20s. He was the youngest player in the international South African team, and they made him the captain because of his excellent skills at play and his commanding leadership over everyone else. And under his captaincy, his side won an amazing number of international matches. Until the year 2000. In the year 2000, police arrested Cronje because he'd become involved with an Indian betting syndicate, and he was conspiring with that syndicate to rig the outcome of cricket matches at the top level. Cronje was deeply investigated and banned from playing cricket for the rest of his life. Cronje was repentant, and he deeply wanted to use the years that followed to make up for his mistakes and to redeem his reputation. From his arrest in 2000, he had only 2 years, because in the year 2002, Cronje died in a plane crash, aged just 32. He never found that redemption. He never had enough time, and then he was gone. And today, if you read the story of Hansie Cronje, he's not really remembered as a great cricketer. He's remembered for the scandal that ended his career. So the obvious question, what will I be remembered for? In the passage that was read to us, the Apostle Paul, using that construction metaphor, talked about the different materials that might be used in construction. He talked about gold and silver and precious stones. He also talked about wood, hay, or straw. The first three are things that are really precious and valuable, and they would be long-lasting. They would survive. But the wood, hay, and straw, flimsy, just easily consumed in a fire, or if a big bad wolf comes along, get kind of blown away. You know the story. How are we building? Are we building something precious, something important, something lasting? Are we building with integrity, living out the trust that people have put in us? And what are we building? Is it actually important? Are we building things that will truly make this world a better place? Are we building according to God's values? Will what we do in our day really matter? If you followed through the whole West Wing mini series, there's one incident when President Bartlet has been in office about 7 years in. You can work out how long is left. And the chief of staff, Leo McGarry, spends a day kind of watching his team running around, chasing the tails and firefighting all the kind of small issues of the day. And very late in the day, late in the evening, he calls them together and he writes on a board, 3, 6, 5. And he points them all to that. He says, these are the number of days remaining to us when we will have more power than we will ever have at any other moment in our lives. What will we do with the 1 year that remains to us? What are you doing now with the days that God has given you? All the opportunities and possibilities and all the responsibilities that people have given you. What will you do with that time? Do not build things that are flimsy and superficial and one day will just blow away. But build the things of immense importance that last and have deep value. The gold, silver, and precious stones kind of things that you can do in your time. Last story. The River Tay is in Scotland, and it has an immensely long railway bridge that goes over it. And I traveled over it many times when I was a child. But the bridge that I traveled over as a child is not the original bridge. The original was built in February of 1878. It was more than 2 miles long. And back in the 1870s, that made it the longest bridge anywhere in the world. Queen Victoria traveled over that bridge and was so impressed, she immediately granted a knighthood to a man called Thomas Bouch. Back in those days, they gave one person responsibility for the whole project. So Thomas Bouch had done the design. Thomas Bouch had built the foundries that made the metal. He'd supervised the construction, and he even had a contract for the ongoing maintenance. Thomas Bouch got a knighthood. But then on 28th December 1879, so approximately 22 months after the bridge was opened, a lot of people in Scotland go home to be with family for New Year. And so it was a fairly small train, but it was packed. But there was a force 10 gale sweeping up the River Tay estuary that night. So they huddled gratefully into the railway carriages. It had its last stop on the southern bank of the river. And everyone on board, the guards, the railway station staff, locked them in their carriages. It was what they did in those days. It was considered safer. And out into the darkness of a Saturday night, the train headed out across the bridge. Should have been on the other side within 10 minutes. But the people on the north bank found the train never arrived. And after 15, 20 minutes, they feared the train had got stuck in the middle of the bridge in the gale. So they crawled out in the darkness onto the bridge to find the train. They not only could not find the train, they couldn't find the central span of the bridge. It had collapsed into the river, and even to this day, they're not sure if it had all blown over with the weight of the train on it, or whether, in fact, the bridge had already gone and the train always went straight out into space. All 75 people on that train died. There was a massive public inquiry, and sadly, all the blame was laid at the feet of Thomas Bouch. He'd never wind-tested his design. His foundries had produced shoddy materials. The construction was severely lacking, as was the maintenance. He was totally discredited, and within a couple of years, he died. Come the day of a great test, what he'd done couldn't stand. It's a sobering truth that there will always be moments when the worth of what we do is tested. We do it at the seminary with students by examinations. Workers get evaluations. Even the relationships we have in life go through hard times, which can be a test. Those in elected office know all about elections when voters make their judgments. There are always tests, moments of examination. And the Bible speaks, as it did in that passage, about the day we will all stand before God for that ultimate test, God from whom nothing is hidden. And we have to give account for what we've done, for all that's been entrusted to us. So the question, is the life you live and is the work you do ready for any test? My aunt, now gone home to glory, well, I hope it's to glory, but my aunt who's left us in this world, she might just about have qualified as the world's worst car driver. Her top speed on all kind of roads, it could have been an interstate, but her top speed was 25 miles an hour. My aunt couldn't parallel park. Now there'll be people here who sympathize with that. My aunt couldn't parallel park on a deserted street. Especially as she got older, she couldn't judge traffic at junctions. She solved the problem by simply never stopping. I'm coming through. There were probably many reasons she was such a bad driver, but the underlying reason was that she'd begun driving so many, many, many years ago, it was before they actually did tests. So she'd never learned. She'd just written in and they sent her a license. And so she had never prepared for any test. And the consequence was her work was bad. We need to be people who are prepared for the greatest of all tests. And are we ready for that? If everything stopped now and our lives and our work was an open book for examination, if our achievements were there for all to see, would we do fine in our day? This is our day. This is your generation and my generation to build something lasting. It's a day to build well and not waste our potential on the flimsy things of this world. And it's a day to build that can withstand any scrutiny and any test. For some of us, that means a new beginning. Christmas was a whole new beginning for the whole of this world when God sent his son. this Christmas can be our personal new beginning. And may it be a wonderful new beginning and a wonderful season of celebration for all of you. God bless you.